here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron Live, right now on YouTube and the Covers X channel as well. So a great big show planned for you guys today because we got a couple of great big college football games taking place tonight and tomorrow night. We're going to be all over those with our two college football analysts, Brad Powers, followed by Jake Butt. Today, a pretty good looking board in the NBA as well. John Mettler will be here for the third segment of the show to discuss a couple topics there, as well as break down our best bets of the night. Okay, if you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Who do you like in the game tonight, the game tomorrow night, NFL wildcard weekend, the NBA? Jimmy S in there saying, we want Brad. Well, Jimmy, we're not going to make you wait. Let's go to our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how is the new year treating you so far?
Yeah, Jimmy, I thought I told you to stay in the truck. I'll get to you later. No, I'm kidding. I seem to have some people in the chat. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. Obviously, we're winding down the college football season. It's kind of a love-hate relationship there. Obviously, it's a hell of a workload, so I'm kind of happy that that's lightening up, but also we'll miss it on a day-in and day-out basis, but excited because we got a couple of very intriguing games. It's not SEC-based. We'll get into that in a minute, but looking forward to these couple of semifinals.
Yeah, Brad, you are running hot for us here on the show. I believe 8-1 with your best bets during bowl season here. So you have two best bets to add today. We'll get to those, but let's kick around a couple topics here right off the bat. What do you think the best result is for the sport of college football in terms of a championship matchup and the eventual champion?
Yeah, I'm going to talk strictly from a TV audience, best for the branding, the marketing and the sport. Probably Notre Dame over Ohio State would be the best because Notre Dame is probably the most recognizable, oldest, most global brand of the sport. Ohio State has probably the most amount of fans just because of their incredible, large alumni base. So that would probably be the best. You know, any combination, though, I think works because it's not Alabama. It's not Georgia. It's not Clemson. I know Texas is technically in the SEC this year, but they're not a typical SEC program. So you got four blue bloods, you got four teams. The most recent national championship of the four is Ohio State 10 years ago. So it's not like you're getting overkill here. So I if I'm a TV exec, I am very happy these are the four teams left.
Okay, let's talk the four remaining quarterbacks. I don't know if any of these guys will have success at the pro level. We'll leave that discussion for another day, I guess. But power rank the four remaining quarterbacks for us. How would you rank these guys?
It's tough doing a 1-4 because, I mean, there's not much separating. It's not like one's clear head and shoulders above the other. So what I'll do is, I'll give you the best attributes of the four. Okay. Best NFL talent, the guy most likely to succeed at the next level, probably Drew Aller. He's coming back for another year, though, but that should do him well. I just think he's got the highest ceiling at the NFL level. Best passer, at least from 20 yards in, would be Quinn Ewers for Texas. Best runner by far is Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, but he's probably the worst thrower of the bunch, though. So you got to combine that, too. And then I think the guy that's playing the best football right now, at least the last couple of games in the playoffs, would be Ohio State's Will Howard. So they all have pluses. They all have minuses. Nobody's a superstar, though, but all four are capable of putting their team on their back and winning a playoff game or two.
Okay, let's talk about the hottest player in college football, probably, is Jeremiah Smith. He went for 103 versus Tennessee, 187, of course, versus Oregon, a handful of touchdowns in there as well. So a lot of the casual bettors here will probably be looking to take the over on his receiving yard total, sitting there at 86.5 yards. You think Texas can slow him down tomorrow night?
Well, on paper, they should have at least a shot as good as anybody because they, on paper have arguably the best secondary in college football. They haven't seen too many Jeremiah Smiths, though. Jeremiah Smith, the last time we talked, I said, if I'm drafting for this year's draft and he's eligible, he's going number one. He's number one on my board, even as a true freshman. If you think, you're paying a premium because of what he did the last two games, well, he has topped this current receiving yardage total in half the games this season. He's getting way more targets. They're throwing the ball a hell of a lot more. So unless this gets crazy and goes up another 10, 15 yards, I can only look towards the over here. So public, I don't want to fade the public on this particular prop.
Okay, let's analyze these games starting tonight. Notre Dame favored by a point and a half against Penn State, total 45 and a half. The Fighting Irish on a 10-0 against the spread run, absolutely rolling coming into this game. Do you think that they can continue to roll into the championship game?
I don't have a strong opinion on side or even total. I probably prefer total more than anything. But, I mean, as far as the game goes, both teams are very similar. It's going to come down to this. Who runs the ball best, because that's what they both prefer to do, and who limits their mistakes the most, especially a quarterback. I mean, Penn State has the only pair of 1,000-yard rushers in the country in Allen and Singleton. Allen's playing incredibly well. Notre Dame has forced the most turnovers of any team in the country. I think if all things were equal – same amount of rest off a similar caliber opponent. Jeremiah Love was fully healthy. If Abdul Carter was fully healthy, I'd be on Notre Dame here. But, you know, the two extra days this time of year of not necessarily preparation, but just rest, I think is a big deal. So I lean Penn State, but I prefer under 45 and a half as far as the total goes. Just lean, so pizza bets.
Okay, so nothing overly strong for side and total, but you do have a prop bet that you do like for this game that you will be adding to your best bets. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so favorite bet on this game is in the player prop market. Not always widely available, but certainly more widely available than any game so far this college football season. Let's go rushing yards. Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard, we're going over 49.5 rushing yards. Variety of reasons. Number one, it's win or go home. You're probably not running him much during the middle of the season against Stanford or Georgia Tech in this type of game. You are, especially if we just saw it against Georgia, 14 rush attempts. On top of that, we have a key injury to Notre Dame's top running back, Jeremiah Love, who's only gotten 14 carries the last two games because he's been banged up. I expect him to be even, you know, just as banged up for this game. I don't expect him to be healthy. So, okay, Jadarian Price, the backup running back, is going to get carries. But I think it ultimately comes down to Riley Leonard. And keep in mind, as far as rushing yards, sacks might play a factor, but Abdul Carter, the best edge rusher in college football, maybe not healthy, so maybe it won't be that big of a deal. And hopefully not too many kneel attempts at the end of the game. I'd hate to lose one like I did at the Super Bowl 4 or 5 years ago with Mahomes, but over 49.5 rushing yards here for Leonard.
I was on the wrong end of that one as well. I didn't realize it when it was happening. And like a minute later, it's like, wait a minute, I'm getting absolutely burned here. Okay, let's talk game number two tomorrow night. That Ohio State favored by 6 against Texas, total 53.5. Now, Ohio State has been on an ass-kicking tour here throughout the playoff. And you like them to cover the spread as one of your best bets.
I do. I'm keeping it simple. Best bet, Ohio State minus 6. And really, this game comes down to this. I mean, do you value full season stats and data, or do you have recency bias? Call me square. I'm going to have recency bias here because, I mean, what Ohio State did to Tennessee and Oregon were arguably the two most impressive performances of pretty much any team in the country so far this season. Schematically, they're a much different team. They're running counter on offense. They're throwing it more on defense. They're playing more cover two. Caleb Downs, the best safety in the country, is playing like a rover type position for them in the middle of the field that the teams can't seem to get a handle on. I don't like what I've seen from Texas so far, the last three games, going back to the SEC championship game. And if you're calling me square, this happens from time to time. Some teams have an extra gear in the postseason. We have seen it back-to-back years in the NCAA tournament. Connecticut has gone 12-0 against the spread in the NCAA tournament. So some folks will say, oh, you're paying a premium. The look ahead line is 1.5. I just think the reality is if Ohio State continues to play like they have the last 2 weeks, nobody's staying within a touchdown on this team. They're going to blow out their next two opponents.
Okay, we'll see if they can lay the smackdown again tomorrow night. Brad, we will leave it at that. But, of course, we will be catching up with you next week where we do a deep dive into the championship game. So best of luck with the bets here tonight and tomorrow night. Enjoy the games. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. The man right there. So from one college football betting analyst to another, we interviewed Jake Butt this morning. He's in Dallas right now to work one of the games. Let's throw to that interview. Time to talk to one of my favorite people in all of sports media, former Michigan Wolverine analyst for the Big Ten Network, our guy Jake Butt, who is in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl in a hotel room. Jake, it's hard to tell if you made the bed behind you. Can you confirm, is the bed behind you made in your hotel room?
No, the bed is not made, but it's also not destroyed either. I don't move when I sleep, so I just need to pull the sheets back up and then we're good. But Joe, I'll just tell you this. You normally ask me how I'm doing, and I wanted you to ask me today because I'm doing great, because you said I'm one of your favorite people to talk to, Joe. So today's going to be a good day.
I'm happy too. Right back in the routine. I love the holidays, but it can throw things off. You know, football doesn't take a break over the holidays. So right back into the Monday to Friday routine, a couple of big games to discuss here in college football, some NFL playoff stuff, and a couple topics I'm going to throw at you off the top starting now. So let's look ahead to the NFL draft. Cam Ward has overtaken Shedeur Sanders as a favorite to go number one overall. And this one's on the move. It was minus 130 yesterday. Ward is now minus 150 to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Sanders down to plus 120. Who do you think has a better shot to have success in the pros?
So I'll give you a two-part answer. I'll start with what I like about both these guys and just generally what I see. I think Cam Ward has that it factor. He's got that special ability. I think he has like a different level of talent than even Shedeur has, like in terms of arm strength, his ability to make throws off platform, his ability to create. He's got that rare thing that I think GMs are going to fall in love with. Whereas Shedeur, it's almost like going to the gun range. He's got a bit of a tighter bullet spread. He's a little bit more consistent, but probably doesn't. He can't throw the ball 70 yards. He can't make some of the throws that Cam Ward can make. That being said, if I had to project it out, Shedeur has enough for me, and I like the fact that he's got a tighter bullet spread. I like the fact that he's a little bit more predictable than Cam in that sense. The truth is, who's going to have a better career depends fully on what situation they land in. That's the truth. And I think we saw that completely this year with the rookie quarterbacks. You look at Bo Nix with Sean Payton. You look at Jaden Daniels with Cliff Kingsbury calling plays. It's obvious to me that, you know, quarterback success is dependent on their situation. So you look at some of those early teams. Yeah, I do like the Giants head coach. I don't know if I like the GM and the situation overall. I like the Browns head coach, and I think the Browns have a decent roster, but they're the Browns. So I don't know. I do think the situation these guys land in is going to be the ultimate predictor.
Okay, let's talk head coaches for the four remaining teams here in the college football playoff. No legends, no Saban, no Harbaugh this time around. I do think it is fair to say that all four head coaches do have question marks going into these games. So let's do a power rankings. How would you rank the four remaining head coaches?
This is a really good question. I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I came all the way back around to the conclusion. I know we were giving him shit a few weeks ago, but Ryan Day, you have to acknowledge that he's the best coach here in the playoff. And I know we talk emotionally about the losses to Michigan, but what can't be downplayed is he beat Penn State. He beat Indiana. They rolled Tennessee. They rolled Oregon. You look at his record as a coach, it's one of the most impressive records to start a career of all time. And I believe this year he's going to get the national championship to confirm that he was the best coach in the playoffs. Where it gets really interesting is the number two and number three spot. Is it Sark? Is it Freeman? I think a lot of people would probably pick Sark. I'm very high on Freeman, so I think that's where it got interesting. But I ended up going back with Sark, and I just think generally what he inherited at Texas was not as pretty of a picture as what Freeman inherited. You know, Freeman inherited Notre Dame from Brian Kelly. It was a perennial playoff program, a team that had been to national titles, and a bit more stability, whereas we'd spent the better half of a decade before Sark got there wondering when Texas would be back. Now, I will acknowledge Sark has the benefit of infinite resources in an army behind him at Texas. So I think that helps his cause a little bit. But I'll give Sark the slight edge, Freeman coming in at number three, and then James Franklin at number four.
Okay, let's get right into these games here. Going down tonight, Notre Dame favored by 1.5 against Penn State. Total 45.5. The Fighting Irish, a money-making machine, 10-0 against the spread in their last 10 games, on absolute fire here. Meanwhile, we talked about it a lot on the show this year. Penn State, not really good as an underdog. I know it's a small spread, but they're 0-10 straight up in their last 10 games as an underdog, 1-6 ATS in their last seven How do you break this game down?
Yeah, so I think really to build off what you just said with Penn State, the good thing Penn State has here, this is a good matchup for them. You know, a lot of those losses as underdogs were playing Ohio State. And really, what when you look at this matchup, the strength of Penn State favors the weaknesses of Notre Dame. So Notre Dame's offense, it is built fully on the ability to run the ball. I don't trust Riley Leonard to win the game throwing the ball. I don't think Notre Dame has great receivers. Meanwhile, the Penn State front seven is as good as it gets in college football. The weakness is their secondary. So right there, you should say Penn State can stop the run. Also, you look at Notre Dame, an impressive win over Georgia. Well, Georgia beat themselves. How many mistakes and turnovers? I'll give credit to Notre Dame for forcing some of them, but that is where the game was lost. Penn State doesn't make many mistakes. Drew Aller does not turn the ball over. So I think the number one thing, though, Joe, I'm looking at this game is injuries are a major storyline. Star running back for Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love, one of the best backs in college football, has been dealing with a knee injury, wearing a massive brace, apparently has not practiced at 100% at all leading up to this game. Meanwhile, Penn State star edge rusher Abdul Carter, he left the game against Boise State, and his health is a concern. I would not bet before this game. I would be looking at the live line, and I would watch the first drive of Notre Dame. Is Jeremiah Love playing? And then part of this, too, is he makes a change of direction is a big piece of his game. He's a quick, agile, explosive back. Man, wearing those knee braces limits that, and you know, Blake Corum from Michigan, I remember him warming up after his knee injury against Illinois in 2022 in Columbus. He tried to give it a go. He couldn't. I got concerns that might be the case here for Jeremiah Love. And if that's the case, and if Abdul Carter is healthy and playing, his is a shoulder injury. They'll just shoot you up and go. You don't need your shoulder to play football. Abdul Carter's special because of his speed. If Jeremiah Love doesn't look healthy and Abdul Carter's playing, I'll take Penn State in this matchup.
Okay, next up, let's go to Friday night. Ohio State favored by 6 over Texas, total 53.5. Texas was an underdog just once this season. They won and, of course, covered that game against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Ohio State on an absolute roll here, a 20-point win over Oregon. Oregon was never in that game. A 25-point win over Tennessee. What stands out in this one to you?
Man, I know I work for the Big Ten Network. I know I played in the Big Ten. So to our viewers, I hope I don't get humbled here. But this is another bad matchup for Texas. I love Ohio State. And frankly, I think what you've seen with Ohio State the past 2 weeks is if you just looked at the past two games for the Buckeyes, and I know we have to factor in the season. They lost to Oregon. They lost to Michigan. But if you looked at the past two games and you knew the talent Ohio State has, you'd be saying this has the chance to be one of the all-time great college football teams. That's some of the most dominant performances we've ever seen. And really, that's the story there is Ohio State realizing who they are from a talent standpoint. But then you get into the X's and O's, and I look at Texas' makeup as an offense, okay? They run a ton of outside zone. Cameron Williams, their right tackle, injured. In the Arizona State game, they could not run the ball, okay? Ohio State, number one rush defense against outside zone in the Power Four. Ohio State's edges, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, number one and number six run defenders in college football amongst edges. Ohio State, a season high call of cover two, split safety coverage against Tennessee and against Oregon. They take their safety, Caleb Downs, and they put him in the middle, and he's just a rover making plays. Quinn Ewers, when facing split safety defense, cover two, he's the 55th best quarterback in college football. Against cover one, he's a top five quarterback. He has struggled to succeed against split safety. The big reason is now this split safety coverage, you can double team the outside. It's a much harder defense to attack as a quarterback. And yet Ohio State's still able to stop the run from cover two. So I think it's going to be hard for Texas to move the ball. And frankly, you know, Texas got a good defense. That's the best secondary Ohio State has seen all year. No one's stopping this Buckeye receiver core. The only one that's stopping Ohio State's receivers is their own coaching staff, and I think they learned their lesson from Michigan. So this is a game. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. But, man, I clearly, as you can see, I really love the Buckeyes.
Okay, let's shift gears over to the NFL wildcard weekend. Gets going here Saturday afternoon. So if you spend any time online or consume any sort of NFL content, you're probably going to hear this week that rookie quarterbacks and quarterbacks making their first start in the playoffs have a horrible track record over the past couple of years, both straight up and against the spread in these playoff games when they're going up against a team who has a quarterback who has experience in the playoffs. So this year, we have Bo Nix taking on the Buffalo Bills, Jaden Daniels taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Sam Darnold Monday night looking to bounce back against the LA Rams. Out of those three, who do you believe in the most?
Okay, we can just go through the line, and we can eliminate Bo Nix right away. I think it's been a fun story. I love the marriage of Bo Nix and Sean Payton. They're not going to Buffalo and winning that game. Okay, that one's easy. Where it starts to get interesting, we can start with Jaden Daniels a bit here, because I do – that guy solves problems. He does special things. I love the direction of the organization of Washington. So I think that this one is a bit more of a toss-up. But, again, I agree with the public here of Baker has won a playoff game, and he won a playoff game in Cleveland. That's freaking unheard of. I would still lean towards Baker as a guy that's been there with people on the roster that have won a Super Bowl before. I lean into that thing, and I think that matters. I'm excited about the future for Jaden Daniels. It's not quite going to happen. Then you talk about Sam Darnold, and I have real concerns for Sam Darnold. And the other conversation is about the future of the quarterback position, and I think what we saw when Minnesota went to Detroit was effectively a mock playoff game. We got to see Sam Darnold with all the chips on the line, with the entire world watching, and he couldn't get it done. Kevin O'Connell, there was guys wide open. Justin Jefferson was wide open. Jordan Addison was wide open, and Sam Darnold could not make those plays. Now you're talking about a multi-hour flight going out to the red-hot LA Rams against a quarterback in Matt Stafford with Sean McVay. I cannot, in my right mind, as special as a season it's been for Sam Darnold, bet on him over the red-hot Matt Stafford and Sean McVay. So I think it's a great season, but I think we saw some of the limitations show up for Sam Darnold against Detroit. And I have concerns as that applies to the playoffs.
So that would be your favorite bet of the weekend in the NFL, though. Well, that game's actually on Monday, but you like the Rams on the money line as a small underdog. And I tend to agree. It's hard not – you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment with the NFL or football in general, because you're looking at one game sample sizes. But it's kind of hard not to be with the Minnesota Vikings. It seemed like that moment was too big for everybody involved. So you like the experience of the Rams in that game, eh?
I like the experience. I like the marriage of coach to quarterback McVay and Stafford. I like the momentum the Rams have going into the playoffs. I like the fact that you're getting plus odds in a home playoff team on a multi-hour flight across time zones. And I like the fact that the Viking, that's a physical game that mattered. It's an emotional game where you're pushing all your chips on the table and you came up short in Detroit. It is tough. It is tough to go back and do it again on the road. So there's a lot of factors that leads me to say I'm getting plus odds in combining all those factors together. Yeah, I'll take the Rams.
Yeah, the Vikings came up really short in that game. Okay, so let's end with this. From a pure fandom perspective here, Jake, I want some new blood in the Super Bowl. I don't want to do the whole Kelce's and Taylor Swift and the greatness of Patrick Mahomes for 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Again, I'm exhausted. So I would love to see, well, I took the Lions to actually beat the Chiefs, but from a pure fandom perspective, I would love to see the Bills get in. I would love to see Lamar Jackson get over the hump here in the playoffs. So you look at the odds to win the AFC, KC plus 150, Baltimore plus 270, Buffalo plus 290. Is this the year the Bills or the Ravens overtake the Chiefs, who appear to be hitting their stride going into the playoffs now?
Eventually, it's got to happen, right? Like, the Chiefs can't just win Super Bowls forever, right? They can't. And you'd think this is the year, but we kind of thought that last year. We've made the case just about every year. And you mentioned the Chiefs hitting their stride. I think one of the things that showed up watching the Chiefs this year is they just look tired. And that's the biggest thing I'm watching for when they do take the field is those are long runs. I mean, effectively, you're playing another half season in the playoffs. And when you consider the magnitude of those games, maybe, a full season now having back-to-back Super Bowl runs. So they looked exhausted. But you mentioned that, Joe, that they're kind of hitting their stride. And I do think it's kind of like LeBron James in the NBA, where Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, maybe part of this is them feeling out to see who they can trust in the season, knowing they can turn it on in the playoffs. So I have concerns. Though I love Lamar Jackson, I've watched it. I watched a completely different quarterback take the field playing the Chiefs last year. I'm looking at Lamar like, man, Lamar, how can the whole world see this and you not get it done? That being said, Josh Allen has went toe-to-toe and danced with Pat Mahomes, but he's been screwed over by his head coach and his team. So I'm concerned about Lamar's ability to do it. I'm concerned about the organization of Buffalo able to help Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen can dance with Pat Mahomes. But, man, if there's ever a year, it's got to be this year, man. The Chiefs are vulnerable. They're not putting up a ton of points on a week-to-week basis. So who knows? I don't know. I'm kind of the opposite of you. I don't mind seeing a three-peat. I kind of like the story. I think sports are better when there's a heel, where there's a dynasty. You know, it gives the league something to root against. I think everyone benefits from that.
Yeah, it is fun to cheer for greatness. And you do see the thing with Lamar Jackson. It's like a theme every season. He and the Ravens have these great regular seasons, and they get into the playoffs and someone hits an off switch all of a sudden. So hopefully he can get over the hump. I would love to see that. Jake, we will leave it at that for today, though. Thanks again for joining. Enjoy the games this weekend. And we will look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure, man.
All right, Jake and Brad, two of the best in the business, some of the best viewers in the business. 52% of you guys in the live chat like Penn State to pull off the victory here tonight. Cannot wait for that one. Okay, enough football. Let's talk a little NBA. If we're talking NBA, we're talking with the Magic Ass Man, John Mettler. John, how are we making out today?
Good. What a game that Cavaliers Thunder was. Like, sometimes you get like really good matchups, really good teams, and it doesn't really live up to the hype. That game lived up to the hype. It was great watch.
Yeah, I don't watch too many. At this point of the year, I'm not watching too many NBA games start to finish. I usually, when my night's winding down, I'll tune in the fourth quarter, second half, but that's most of any game I've watched this season. Well, there's like 30 lead changes or something crazy like that throughout the game. Heavyweight fight, big punch after big punch, haymaker after haymaker. And I changed my opinion on the Cleveland Cavaliers based on that game. So we talked about this yesterday. We said, you know, is this a case of just a team who's really good during the regular season? Then maybe they get to the playoffs and they'll hit that wall. I love what I saw out of the Cavs, and I love what I saw out of their crowd, too. I think that's going to be a really nice home court advantage for them if they can continue this run and keep the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And based on that big win last night, they have now leapfrogged over the Knicks in the odds to win the Eastern Conference. It's still Celtics plus 110, but you get the Cavs plus 380 and out of the Knicks down to plus 400. So that changed my mind. That changed my opinion about Cleveland. Did it change your mind at all, or are you just like settled down? It's a one-game sample size.
I like Cleveland. I do feel like the Celtics are kind of like their kryptonite. Like, if they could somehow avoid the Celtics, like say the Knicks take out the Celtics, if their path doesn't include the Celtics, they could absolutely win the whole thing. I do think this Celtics, it does kind of feel like that big brother, little brother vibe a little bit. I think that's the one team they would, I think obviously anyone would be happy to avoid the Celtics, but a Thunder Cavs, like that would be a fantastic NBA finals, not from like a market standpoint. Obviously that's not what the NBA wants, but from like a matchup, like both teams are 10 deep. Like you can just completely play chess with your lineups. And that's kind of what you saw yesterday. It's like, hey, we're going to blitz Donovan Mitchell. Well, we're going to put Mobley and Allen and they're going to work lobs through the middle there. And then you saw Ty Jerome come in and he could create offense as well. Darius Garland. So each team kind of has like a punch counter punch thing. So yeah, that'd be a really fun NBA finals, but the Celtics are kind of the opposite, right? It's like, here's our really good five and that's our really good five. So you don't really get to see that with the Celtics. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean from like a league business perspective. They would take Celtics Lakers 100 times out of 100. But just from a, you know, if you're a big time fan of basketball, I think the best possible matchup might be Cavs Thunder, at least based on what we saw last night. I'd like to see some new blood as well. I talked about that with Jake about the Kansas City Chiefs. Too much Boston Celtics, these deep runs into the playoffs, but they're probably going to make another one this year. The latest on Jimmy Butler, it's kind of looking like the Suns. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it feels like it's always been the Suns. They're just trying to manipulate to get he comes out and says anywhere but anywhere. He wants to leave Miami. He'll go anywhere. And the Memphis Grizzlies jump from like 30-1 to 3-1 in the odds. And then you hear Jimmy Butler say, oh, well, not Memphis. And then you also hear Milwaukee trying to make a trade for him. And then he comes out, his camp says, Milwaukee, don't try to make this trade. So obviously his anywhere but Miami is not anywhere but Miami. It does feel like they're trying to force their way to Phoenix. They just need Bradley Beal to waive his no trade clause. And it doesn't sound like Bradley Beal will waive his no trade clause. But I just saw before we came on here, air here on X, they're saying Jimmy Butler wants an extension. The Miami Heat said they're not going to extend him. That's probably where this all kind of fractured. The Phoenix Suns have an extension waiting for Jimmy Butler if they can land him. And then I guess Kevin Durant has also said that he will stay. If he will sign an extension as well if Jimmy Butler comes there. So it's starting it just comes down to Bradley Beal. It's a weird thing. I mean, if you're not wanted there, wouldn't you leave? But he's not waiving the no trade, so we'll see. I mean, it feels like something's got to give here.
Yeah, my takeaway from this with the Phoenix Suns is if you're a Suns fan, you got to love the new owner of this team. He comes in right off the bat. He traded for Durant, you know, the Beal thing in hindsight. I know what he was trying to do. That hasn't really panned out. And then he did the thing where he lowered all the concession prices and you can get a hot dog for like $2 here. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, good job by the owner of the Suns. They're three games below 500 now, so they need to shake things up here a little bit. So a little bit more on that game here momentarily. We have three picks each. I went 1-2 last night. The Thunder, it was close, but not close enough, so they weren't able to cover the 2.5-point spread as an underdog. And then I had the under in the game after that. Bucks Spurs, it went over by 2 points. Oh. I did not like seeing that. But the Knicks did take care of business against the Raptors. So I'm looking to bounce back here a little bit. I have a player prop. Let's start with this one. Dylan Brooks, revenge game, baby. You might laugh at that, but the revenge game is real. Him going up against his former team, the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, you might recall they completely threw him under the bus after that series 2 years ago against the Lakers in the playoffs. He got embarrassed. But I don't think they treated him right on the way out the door. He doesn't either. So we're going to go over 14.5 points. He's played Memphis 5 times since going to the Rockets. He's averaged 17.4 points. That's a few points higher than his average in that span. The two games in Memphis were especially strong. Totals of 19 and 26 in those ones. He's taking on a Grizzlies team that is really struggling on the defensive end right now. Last 5 games, they are 24th in defensive rating. More importantly, 29th in points allowed. And I think he's going to have a good opportunity to have success from three-point land in this one. The Grizzlies allowing the second most threes per game over that 5-game sample size and the fifth highest three-point percentage. So Dylan Brooks to score at least 15 points tonight against his former team. Trey Young, what do you like for him, John?
Yeah, I see Kevin saying our ref's going to call it out of bounds tonight. If you were back in the Thunder, which you were, you had to love that when they're like, I don't know how Shea stayed in bounds. And they get a corner three and then they're like, never mind, he didn't stay in bounds.
It was a good break. It didn't pay out though, but no,
But I went Trae Young over 11.5 assists. So this line's it's moved a lot since we've made this graphic and I submitted this for the show. But I'll still talk about just in case it does bite back. Now it's about like 11.5, like -140. I had a price at -150. So technically there's still an edge, but like obviously that gap has really tightened up there. If it drops back, you can play it. I think it's like 12.5, like even money. I'd probably back off of that as well. So the reason I went over 11.5 at this -110 was it looks like a massive number. Like anytime you're talking about 11.5 assists, Trae Young had 29 potential assists against the Utah Jazz in his last game. And you just look at their roster, it makes sense, right? Like who's creating offense other than Trae Young. Dyson Daniels is just like a defender, create shots for me. Zachary Risache, create shots for me. Clint Capella, he's a lob threat. Without Jalen Johnson, there's really no one else generating shots for anyone. And then you just look at the matchup, and it's like the Phoenix Suns, they don't have a good perimeter defense. Tyus Jones, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, that's what's killing them. So like, who's going to stop Trae Young from just navigating through the court and getting to wherever he wants? And then when he's dishing it to his teammates, they're going to be able to convert shots because they're going against the Phoenix Suns. So the matchup, everything plays. This number just has moved quite a bit. If it comes back, there's a chance it comes back. It happens all the time. It's a market. So if it comes back, it's like minus 120, minus 125, I'd play it. But if it's like minus 150, I'd back off.
Kevin asks, why does everyone want out of Miami, Butler and Tyreek Hill both? I will come back to that question. Let's keep ripping through these picks for now, though. Ugly one here. I like the Trailblazers. They're in Dallas taking on the Mavericks. I think this is too many points, considering Luka and Kyrie are not suiting up for Dallas. So I'm going to take Portland plus 8. Portland has been better than Dallas since Luka went down here for the Mavericks. 7 full games that Dallas has been without Luka. In that span, Dallas is 21st in net rating. Portland, right around league average at 16th. Now, that's not impressive by any means, but they're an 8-point underdog in this one. Offensively, the shooting for the Trailblazers, this is as hot as they've been all season. They are 3rd in effective field goal shooting percentage over the last 5 games. Dallas, meanwhile, struggling to find its offense without its top 2 offensive players. No shock there. And you might think, Joe, it's a second game of a back-to-back for Portland. Are you crazy? What are you doing? They've been pretty good in this spot this season. 5 times in the second game of a back-to-back. 3-1-1 against the spread, including outright wins versus the T-Wolves and an outright win in Houston against the Rockets. So I will take the Trailblazers to, at the very least, give the Mavs a close game tonight in Dallas. Another kind of an ugly one, maybe, depending on how you feel about these 2 teams. Hornets, Lakers. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, some great teams we're backing here. Charlotte Hornets and Portland Trailblazers.
Let's go.
Too many points, though. Too many points. Give me the Hornets. Plus 8.5. I actually think this has moved. You can find like plus 9 now on this one. So I bet at plus 8.5, minus 115. So when you just look at this from like a matchup standpoint, when the Hornets were like really struggling, you know, a month ago or so, they're missing their bigs. Well, Nick Richards is back. Mark Williams is back. And those are 2 matchups that really help them against the Los Angeles Lakers because, you know, you're trying to slow down Anthony Davis. And then when you flip from like, what can the Lakers do to disrupt the Hornets offense? LaMelo Ball is their best player. Everything runs through him. There's not really a great wing defender, perimeter defender. I don't know if they will put Dorian Finney-Smith on him. He hasn't really been playing as many minutes as I thought he would with the Lakers. So the fact that LaMelo Ball can like, and all of their offense does really come from their wing. So it's like, if Finney Smith is on LaMelo Ball, well, then who's stopping Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller? That's their like core 3 offensive guys. Someone's going to, Austin Reeves has to guard someone. So I feel like the matchups, the Hornets match up really well with them. Yeah, just 8.5. It's a little too high for me. And LaMelo Ball, this is a homecoming game for him. He went, Chino Hills near LA. So that kind of just, you know, a little narrative angle in there to also help with the numbers. I think there is a chance this game gets void. I don't know. There's kind of rumors it might get postponed because of the fires there in LA. They haven't said anything. So yeah, thoughts and prayers to everyone with that as well. So they haven't said anything. We don't know, but I took the Hornets plus 8.5.
Yeah, I think they delayed postponed the Los Angeles Kings Calgary Flames game last night. So yeah, we'll see how that one works out. Okay, 2 more to go here. Let's go down to Phoenix, discuss that Suns team that we've been talking a lot about on the show. Discuss them by fading them and taking the road underdog Atlanta Hawks here, plus 6. Trae Young expected to play. Bogdanovich is also probable for this one. So Phoenix is an awful bet as a home favorite here. Talk about a team that gets overvalued too often. They are 3-11 ATS as a home favorite, 1-9 against the spread as a home favorite of 4 or more points. So an awful bet in this spot. And they've been just god-awful lately here. Have you seen the Phoenix Suns lately? 27th in net rating over the last 10 games. Hawks do have the edge offensively. And they do edge them out defensively in this span, too, just by a little bit. So 3 games under 500 for the Suns. 1-5 straight up since Christmas. That includes their most recent game. They lost outright to the Charlotte Hornets. And Atlanta, we've talked about this a little bit on the show. They've had some really good performances as an underdog this season. Outright wins in New York and in Boston. They have two separate wins against the Cleveland Cavaliers. 7-3 straight up, not against the spread, straight up in their last 10 games as an underdog of 4 or more points. Give me the Hawks to give the Suns a game. And John Mettler, give me a same game parlay. That's what a lot of people are probably here. What are we looking at tonight?
This is the ugliest same game parlay we'll probably ever build, but it really plays into just the spot in the schedule for both teams. So like the Cavaliers, so it's Caris LeVert, 4+ assists, George Niang over 6.5 points, Dean Wade over 5.5 points, came out to +496. So like the Cavaliers, that's a very emotional win. It's a you know, Thunder, you're kind of pushing the minutes of your starters just a little bit. Now your second night of a back-to-back, you have the Raptors coming in, 15.5 point favorite. The Raptors are also on a back-to-back. And like in a spot like this, you're worried about the blowout potential and like what that could do for the minutes. Well, I want, that's what I want. If it's ugly in the fourth quarter, this is exactly what I'm playing towards. I just do think even like if the game's slightly close, the Cavaliers are very cautious with their minutes of their starters. They don't like pushing them up into like 35, 36. They keep them around 30. So coming off of that game against the Thunder, I just really do think you could see like LeVert, Niang, you know, maybe Niang, he usually plays like 16, maybe he gets to 20. LeVert usually plays 22, maybe he gets to 26. I just feel like they could lean on the bench a little more, and the matchup just so plays into that with the Raptors. So that's the SGP I went with.
An ugly one indeed. Cheeseburger Eddie says, all these ugly team bets are turning me on. LOL, I love it. Hey, man, ugly teams cover sometimes, right? It's not as simple as just betting on the good teams to cover the spread, especially in the NBA. Okay, so Kevin asked, why does everyone want out of Miami? Butler and Tyreek Hill both. And then Todd chimed in, Kevin is stirring the pot. Todd, I'm guessing he knows that I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I don't know, kind of similar situations, though. There are some differences, though. Tyreek Hill is a complete and total moron. I talked about this on the show on Monday. This is a guy who was on a dynasty in the making, the Kansas City Chiefs, but they weren't going to pay him enough money. So he was going to go to whatever team was going to pay him the most money. At that time, it was the Miami Dolphins and Jets bidding for him. He ends up on Miami. The Dolphins completely bend over backwards for this guy on and off the field, give him a shitload of money. They tried to get him to 2,000 receiving yards the last two seasons. He has a bad season this year. Failed to reach 1,000 yards for the first time since 2019. And now the Dolphins aren't getting into the playoffs. And this clip is making the rounds this morning of towards the end of the third quarter against the Jets. He was just done. He took himself out of the game. Essentially, this is a guy who is a captain for the team. Then the Miami Dolphins brain trust come out, a bunch of morons there as well, the Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. And they said, yeah, we spoke to Tyreek and behind the scenes, and he doesn't want to be traded, apparently. I do not believe that. I think they're saying that because they plan on dealing him, and they don't want that value to be sucked out of his trade value, I guess you could say. As for Jimmy Butler, you might probably have more to weigh in on this too, John. A lot of people seem to be taking side of Jimmy Butler against the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are not a team that bends over backwards for players. They did not bend over backwards for LeBron James. They didn't bend over backwards for Dwayne Wade when he was there either. And so they had that ugly exit last year, and Pat Riley came out and he had that press conference, and he kind of took everybody to task. And I wouldn't say he threw Jimmy Butler under the bus. It was fair. He said, you know, Jimmy's got to play more. He's got to be there for us during the regular season. And a lot of people thought that that was going to backfire and Jimmy Butler was going to say, fuck this, I want out of here. It didn't. He kind of kept his mouth shut, and people were like, I think he's going to come into the season with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. But it seems to be a bit of a similar theme with Jimmy Butler. He wanted out of Chicago. He wanted out of Minnesota. Things ended kind of ugly in Philly for different reasons. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, you work with some people for a certain period of time. It doesn't matter what line of work you're in. Sometimes you just get sick of each other. And I guess that's the case here. Probably not going about it the best way, though. Do you think I'm accurate there with the description of why Butler would want out of Miami, John?
Yeah, if you've ever never heard the Jeff Teague story of him breaking down Jimmy Butler leaving Minnesota, it's hilarious. And I encourage you to go YouTube it and watch it. What Jimmy Butler did to leave Minnesota, it's pretty funny. But so they said they weren't going to extend him. And I know his issue now is that what at least I was seeing is that, so he's going to be a free agent essentially, but he doesn't think Eric Spoelstra and like the systems he's running and how he's being used is maximizing his skill and talent where he's able to put up numbers and then he'll get paid. So like he's like kind of starting to look a little bit old and washed with the stats and like what people think of him. And he thinks that's going to affect his free agency. So that's like why he wants to leave. So, I mean, that's kind of, I understand what he's saying, but at the same time, like you're getting $50 million to play basketball. I think you could show up and like just play, you know? I mean,
for sure.
I mean, you're obligated, you're under contract for this year. Play if the Phoenix Suns are going to give him $120 million for 2 years right now, they'd probably do at the end of the year, whatever his stats are. So that, I don't know. That's my take.
Yeah. Okay. It will be interesting to see how things shake out. I know the Suns are underperforming, but you know, the Suns in a playoff series with KD, Booker and Jimmy Butler, you know, you'd have to like their chances against a lot of teams there in the Western Conference. Okay. That is it for the Thursday edition of the show. Do we have a recap graphic, producer Nick? I'm thinking no, if it's not coming up on the screen here right now. No. Okay. So yeah, we're coming right back at you guys tomorrow. We have a massive show. It's going to be all of our best bets for the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Good looking board in the NBA tomorrow night too, I think. Usually they do have a good looking one on a Friday night. So John Mettler will be back. He and I will hopefully be celebrating a winning night in the NBA tonight. So thanks to Brad, Jake, and John for joining. Thanks to producer Mick, did a great job with the show today. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all of your sports betting needs. And thank you to all of our great viewers for tuning in, especially the guys and the gals in the live chat. Very live, lively live chat today. So thank you guys for tuning in. Best of luck with all your bets tonight, and we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Let's go, Trailblazers and Hawks! Woo!